Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, October the 5th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. And we're going to get right into it this morning. For the first 10 minutes of the program, we're going to be joined by First Ward City Councilman Ty Mead, because apparently there was a big dust-up last night during the city council meeting, or the finance committee meeting, I should say, which Kai is a part of with, I believe, Jason Schauber and Ayers Ratliff. Kai, how you doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. You sound good. So, Kai, it was the finance committee last night where this meeting kind of got off the rails. Is that right?
Yeah. So we had, this is the finance committee after the September 30th deadline, after a few different pushbacks, a few different requests to get an extension on the previous deadline. And essentially what was being discussed, what kind of set this off, was there was an appropriation attempt by the auditor's office for a number of things, but one of the sections included appropriating like $4.5 million to a handful of different budgets. And I think we kind of just went through the basic questions of saying, like, hey, what does this, you know, why exactly are we doing this? What's the point? And, like, the answer we got was essentially just, well, you know, it's not good or bad. You guys can pass it if you want. Don't pass it if you want. And so we were kind of like, well, what the heck are we doing? And then Councilwoman Swanger got up and she made the point, you know, with the books not reconciled, with the gap audit not done, why would I go and appropriate another $4.5 million? And everyone was kind of in a general agreement about that, one way or the other. And then a member from the auditor's office got up, stood up, and was saying, it was, I'm trying to say that it was a bit different than what we understood, but Councilman Ratliff got up and said, hey, you know, all the time we hear it's like, hey, this money's already been appropriated, it's okay to spend. So by basically okaying this $4.5 million, we might 3 months later come back and say they might try to spend, say, $500,000 or something like that, and say, well, the money was already appropriated. So I guess long story short, it turned into like this blow up between a member from the auditor's office and another councilman, where they were just going back and forth. At one point, people were saying that the city was only hiring family and friends, which I don't believe is true. At another point, Councilman Daniels came out and flat out said, listen, the auditor's office is the most incompetent office I've ever seen in my entire life. And after that, we kind of just ended on ended the discussion there for now until we get more information. I know that's kind of jumbled, but it was kind of a whirlwind in the moment.
There are points that need to be made here. Now we talked last week about the September 30th deadline that I believe Martin Watts had given to, I believe he talked to the newspaper about that and had also said things about City Council that on September 30th, he thought the books could be reconciled after he met with the state auditors in early September. So what we know now is, as of last night, that did not happen, right? The books are not reconciled.
Yes. Books are not reconciled, and the gap audit is not complete.
Do we know why? Do we know if it is ever going to be done?
So, if you talk to certain members of the auditor's office, they'll say it's because they're doing it in such great detail that it just takes longer. If you talk to the state auditor, and we did. We had them come to council. They said one of the biggest is the fact that there's money that they don't believe can, months, like, they don't think can ever be reconciled because of just the failure to do it at a previous point in time.
So if there are months that can never be reconciled, how do we get these books into any kind of shape? Is it possible? according to the state auditors?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's my understanding that right now the goal is, the understanding is there's going to be, these books are not going to be good. they're not going to be in any type of good shape one way or the other. But let's just try to drag it over the finish line and get as much damage as we can in terms of the grade we get back, the report we get back on the audit. But at this point, they're just trying to turn in something. You know, it's like you're back in high school, you're scrambling to turn in that paper. You forgot it was due. It's due in 6 hours. And you're just typing to turn in something to get it over the finish line at this point, even after, in this hypothetical, the teacher gave you three or four extensions.
Two quick questions about this. A lot of people are worried because the conversation has been, why this is so important, is that there are papers that need to be filed for Marion Area Transit, for federal money, to run Marion Area Transit, help run the senior center, help police and firefighters be hired. When is that deadline? At one point, we thought it was September 30th. We've blown over that. Do we know when the deadline is that has to be filed, in which you need this reconciled paperwork to file it? Does anybody know?
It was our understanding that it was September 30th, but since that point, it's been radio silent from the office, so I think we're in the dark on that as of now.
So it could be lost. We don't know, and there's no way to check and find out when this date is.
Yeah, I suppose the two options are: one, we're past the deadline, and we could be in trouble, and two, somehow there's another extension out there, one way or the other. But who knows?
Well, and this is kind of, the final question is kind of a big one. Now, Councilman Daniels referred to the office, again, I don't want to use the wrong word here. How did he refer to the auditor's office?
He referred to it as incompetent. He said it's the most incompetent office he's ever seen.
Most incompetent office he's ever seen. Okay, is the auditor back?
No.
No. So he has been gone nearly 2 months now.
Yes.
Okay. The auditor's been gone nearly 2 months, and he did have COVID. We know that, and he was very sick. He almost came close to dying, is my understanding from people in his office. But how long can this go on? There are measures where city council can file things with the state to try to get him removed because damage is being done. The mayor said if they lose this money, if the city loses this money, that he would call for his resignation. Where do you stand? Is it the most incompetent office in the city? And if it is, can we have that just continue to go on with reassurances and be in the dark, as you say?
I believe it is. And I think that the proof of that is really just in the amount of times that we're constantly cleaning up a mess one way or the other and constantly saying, wow, we really dodged the bullet, or, okay, now we're getting this fine for this mistake. You know, I think that we'll have to wait and see on how long he ends up being out. But I also think it's important to keep in mind that all of these problems really came to fruition before any of, I'm talking like early summer, late spring. So really the whole, by the time he came down with COVID, the issue was pretty much there already.
Does he need to go at the, because I know you have to go here, and I appreciate the time this morning, but at this point, does something need to change in that office? Does somebody need to go? Does somebody new need to be brought in? Does something need to happen? Because September 30th has come and went.
I think at this point, it's become abundantly clear that we're going to kind of keep going through the same thing over and over again, the same. Every 2 months, there's a new issue that someone didn't do their job doing something until either the voters speak up or something else, one way or the other. And until then, you know, the city will be a constant risk. And I think that this is kind of just a culmination of someone who ran for an office that didn't have any really experience for, one way or the other. Didn't have like the job qualifications. If you were a private auditor and you put forward that kind of job resume, you wouldn't. There's no way you'd get hired one way or the other.
But he is not up for election this year, so for the vote it to be in the voters' hands, we would have to go through another, what, year and a half of this?
Yes, till end of 23.
Oh, so 2.5 years of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 2 years, yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, no action will be taken by city council to try to remove him or change something in that office.
Yeah, I think we're just waiting to get as much information as we can from the state auditor. Once they finally either throw their hands up and give up, or once they can give us a report back, one way or the other.
Okay.
Because as of right now, there's no reconciliation, there's no gap audit complete, one way or the other, and there's no word on the deadline that involves those grants.
Well, it's going to be an interesting couple months, because I assume before the end of the year, all this will come to fruition in some way or another. First Ward City Councilman Kai Mead. Kai, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for filling us in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Bye-bye. First Ward City Councilman Kai Mead. There you go. That's what happened at last night's City Council meeting. And again, this is just an effort to bring you up to date on what's going on in the city. With this particular story, which I think the whole city has been following for quite some time now. So now what we know for sure is that the gap audit, the state audit, were not completed by September 30th, which was a big date, a big deadline that everybody was waiting on. And apparently when it comes to the applying for the federal grant money, which we thought was September 30th, the deadline for that, which you have to have the state audit done to apply for, we don't know. We just don't know where that stands. Now, again, that pretty much funds Marion Area Transit. That funds a lot of things at the Senior Center. That funds some police and firefighters. And that is from the mayor. So, here we are. And now we've got Councilman Josh Daniels, who is an independent, saying that it's the most incompetent office in the city. And on top of that, the auditor himself is out with COVID now for about 2 months. And I know he was very ill, but where do we go? I guess answers are just what needs to happen. And when we say we're going to wait for an election, he's not up for re-election until 2023. That's, a little more than 2 years down the road. So, that's that. If anybody would like to call in, give me a call. That's what this station's here for. Information, education, and you on the toll-free line. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But that is the fill-in from last night's city council meeting, which continue. Now it's deteriorated. I think what's happening now is it's deteriorating into name-calling. Because the situation has gotten so bad that somebody apparently from the auditor's office, I was not at the meeting last night, somebody from the auditor's office has gotten up and said the city is hiring friends and family, and somebody on city council is saying to the auditor's office they're the most incompetent office in the city. And, you know, I guess that's good headline stuff for the Marion Star. I'm sure we'll see that in the Star today or tomorrow, probably tomorrow. But where are the answers? When does the paperwork need to be filed to get the federal grant money for Marion Area Transit, for the Senior Center, and for the police and fire departments? I think this is a very, very, very big question. You know, we can keep calling each other names all day long and keep making assertions, but I don't know what that has to do with a lot of Marion citizens, some lower economic, who are working their tails off, who use Marion Area Transit, who use the Senior Center, who certainly use the police and fire department. I don't know. Does anybody out there know? Have a clue? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'm not sure whose fault this is. I'm not even sure if it's one person's fault. I just know that at some point, the citizens of Marion deserve some kind of answers when it comes to this. And hopefully the answers come before any services are lost. And that's where we are. 32 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. All right. Well, let's move on to something a little more flowery. We've got an interesting week of guests coming up here on the show. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Bob Welsh and Eric, who have been here before, from the Amazing Race, I always say Great Race, Amazing Race Pizza Shop. Or maybe I'm saying it wrong. The Great Race Pizza Shop. Not The Amazing Race. The Amazing Race was a television show. But they are going to be here tomorrow. Now, they are making pizza again. But also, apparently, there's some kind of surprise going on. Now, I really have no idea what the surprise is. So I'm excited about tomorrow morning. It'll be their third visit with us. We always have a lot of fun when they're here, learning about this business that was to be something big, and in the end, through tragedy and maybe bad management, did not end up that way. There was a book written about it, Three Pies Hot, by Bob Welsh. So tomorrow we'll learn a little more about that business, have some pizza, and also have this surprise tomorrow. So don't miss tomorrow's show, 8 to 10 a.m. here on this station. Now, later on in the week, Sam Donaldson's going to join us on Thursday at 8:10 a.m. and discuss what's going on in the news. We haven't had Sam on in a while and would love to talk about the news. So Thursday he'll be on to talk about the news. And we have some other big guests this week, which I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but you'll see them as the time goes on. So that's what's going on. Well, here's the story this morning. I'm coming to the station this morning, and I'm making pretty good time this morning, and I hit the boulevard, and I'm about halfway down the boulevard, and I wonder how many people ran into this problem this morning. I'm going down the boulevard, coming south, and about halfway down, I see a road closed sign. So now I cannot get to the other end of the boulevard. So I had to go through the residential neighborhood there. I had to go over by Grant Middle School. I had to go down Gurley Hill. I had to pop up on the other side of Gurley Hill, go through the alley next to the towers there, come out over on Bell Fountain, and then turn down South Prospect. So it was a very precarious morning this morning to get here to the station, but I did get here on time, so I was happy about that. You know, Gurley Hill is very interesting. I have not been up Gurley Hill in a long time, but I wonder how many people have lost their transmissions trying to go up Gurley Hill. What a steep incline that is. Does anybody know the story behind Gurley Hill? Why it's so steep over there? And why it was named Gurley Hill? Is it named after a particular person or a particular thing? Most of the time when they have an incline like that, they usually flatten those out before they put the streets down. I don't know why that was left that way. If you live on that street, I would imagine it could be a little precarious in the winter when the roads are icy. If you tried to go up or down Gurley Hill, especially down, if you were at the top, I would think that you would have a pretty good chance of sliding backwards down Gurley Hill. And it's not a big street at all. So does anybody know the story behind Gurley Hill? It's an interesting street here in Marion, but I did make it up it this morning, and then through the alley next to the towers, and then here to the studio. So if you're out there driving around, the boulevard coming south is blocked off. And that's a big blockage because the boulevard is quite an artery here in Marion. especially in the morning, from the east end of town to the south end of town. And to have that blocked off certainly caused a few problems this morning, but they are doing some work, and it's work that I guess has to be done. I don't know how long it's going to be closed, but hopefully not for a terribly long time. All right, what else is there to talk about this morning? Well, we made it through the big Facebook outage yesterday. What a day that was, because there had just been a report, and I don't know how many people watch 60 Minutes, but on Sunday there had just been a report about Facebook where a whistleblower came on and said that Facebook is completely aware of the negative and misinformation that they put out. And a matter of fact, they like it because it causes their algorithms to go up and more people pay attention. And they target people in that way. That if you like something, they target you with misinformation. So that was a big story on Sunday. And then here on Monday, for the first time, I believe, in the history of Facebook, or certainly recent history, Instagram also went down too. But at 11:20 yesterday, it all went down and did not come up until about 5:30. Now, what did this do to people? You know, was it good to get away from all the social media, or did it put people at peril? I don't know. People couldn't post, I guess, videos and post what they were eating for lunch and communicate with their friends. Hopefully, if they're really your friends, you have other ways to communicate with them. But this Facebook outage was something. And again, here came all the rumors. Oh, it's a cyber attack. I heard that in the beginning. And then it was somebody got into their programming. Somebody snuck in with high-tech equipment. And we still really don't know what the problem was. I think Facebook is saying that some kind of internet talk, internet language got all messed up and caused a problem. But we're back up and running this morning, so I guess that's all that really matters. But people thought their phones were broken. People were curious if they paid their bills. People were really kind of taken aback yesterday by Facebook being out. Did anybody have any thoughts on the big social media outage of yesterday? 740-383-9944. Boy, we've got a quiet group this morning. Nobody has anything to say about what's going on with the city and their money. Nobody has anything to say about the boulevard being blocked off. Nobody has anything to say about the big Facebook outage. Kind of interesting. Last night, I attended, and I went to a city school. So I was never involved in FFA. But last night, I went to an FFA meeting. First one I've ever been to. And I learned a lot of things in this FFA meeting. I think it's kind of interesting. But one thing I learned is that FFA does not stand for Future Farm Makers of America anymore. It does not stand for that. But I did not learn what it stands for. Does anybody know what FFA stands for now? Because they were pretty adamant at the meeting that it did not stand for Future Farm Makers of America any longer. But what does it stand for? Does anybody have any grandkids or kids or kids in the neighborhood who know what FFA stands for? Because it is not, I was told last night, Future Farm Makers of America any longer. That is no longer what FFA stands for. I learned some of the stuff that FFA does now. They still are sort of farm-oriented, but that's not the major thrust of the program. A lot of it is learning how to do resumes. A lot of it is community service. A lot of it is public speaking. There's a lot of things that seem to go into this far beyond agriculture. And I don't know what FFA stands for now, and I'm curious about that. I also learned now, here's a question for you. Maybe this will wake somebody up this morning. Do you know what percentage of people in the United States now are farmers? I thought this was an interesting fact. Does anybody know the percentage of people in America that are farmers? Just the percentage. Shoot out a guess if you have a guess this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What percentage of people in America in 2021 are farmers? I could not believe that this was the percentage. Does anybody have any idea? 740-383-9944. What percentage of people in America in 2021 are farmers? Now, I will give you this fact because I thought this was interesting as well. The average age of a farmer now in America is 56 years old. Now, that should tell you something about that field. The average age of a farmer in America right now is 56 years old. Now, isn't that fascinating that it has turned into that over the years? Well, does anybody have no guesses out there this morning? All you have to do is guess a percentage. What percentage of Americans are farmers right now? Does anybody know the percentage? 740-383-9944. Okay, and while we wait for somebody to guess that, I'm going to do this real, and again, we're going to breeze right through this, because again, I'm sick of this. Well, we'll take the phone call, then we'll come back to it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'll take a guess, 8%.
8%? It's not 8%, it's actually less than 8%.
Yeah, because there's a... farming anymore, you know, if you ain't big, you just ain't farming anymore.
Do you have any idea what FFA stands for?
No, I thought it's still for Future Farmers of America, but evidently not.
Yeah, no, they made that clear last night that it no longer stands for Future Farm Makers of America, but they didn't say what it stands for.
Have you Googled it?
You know, I didn't, because I was hoping somebody would know this morning, but seems like everybody's kind of asleep this morning.
Well, they must have changed it because there just ain't that many farmers anymore.
Well, yeah, and hopefully we get this percentage, but also the average age of a farmer being 56 years old, that's saying quite a bit about the farming industry in America.
It's just a shame about this... auditor. It seems like he's going to play this COVID up, to the hilt just to, get by. I don't know.
Well, now,
I hate to say that, but...
Well, I do know, and here's how... I have seen videos. I know that he was very ill. The last time I saw a video, he was still on oxygen. He's 31 years old. So he's pretty ill. I don't know if he's getting better. I hope he is. But I'm not even sure that is the central issue here, the COVID. I think there are people in that office who can continue when he's not there. I guess the question just is, why do we keep getting dates that don't mean anything, apparently? And it doesn't seem to me like city council or the mayor at this point really have any timetable on this federal money that the city is going to need to operate the senior center, the Marion Area Transit, and some police and fire department officers. I don't know why this is all such a mystery. I don't know why people are being kept in the dark. I don't understand any of that.
It's just a broken record, just the same old thing, all the time.
Well, if somebody just gave an answer and just said, we're not at the point where we can fill out that paperwork, we filed an extension, I think that would be fine, but why can't anybody say that? I don't quite understand that. There seems to be a major breakdown in communication down at City Hall.
I just wish he'd resign.
Well, you know,
let us move on.
Well, I don't even know what would happen at that point. We'll see what happens. I mean, I hope he's feeling better. I do hope that.
Yeah, I hope he's feeling better, but, you know, for the sake of Marion, we either got to remove him or he's got to resign. And it don't seem like either one of those two is going to happen, so.
Well, we'll keep a check on it here. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
We're looking for the percentage of Americans that are currently farmers. We had a guess of 8% there. It's less than 8%. Interestingly enough. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I wanted to answer your question about the percentage of farmers in the U.S.
Yes.
1.5%.
Well, last night I was told it's less than 1%.
Okay.
Now, have you been involved in the program before?
In FFA or in agriculture?
Either one.
Yes, both.
Yeah, you know, when did it get away from Future Farm Makers of America?
I think it was several years ago. When I was in it, it was Future Farmers of America, and that was back in the 90s. And then after that, it kind of, they wanted to encourage people that weren't just farmers to be in the program, but the focus is still agriculture. And so you can be in food service, considered agriculture. There's other industries that you can be in other than farming that are tied to agriculture.
Well, it seemed to me, because the whole rundown was given there last night, that there is agriculture involved, no doubt about it, that animal raising is still part of it and things of that nature. But it seemed like a good thrust of the program was really about these banquets and learning to balance a book, run a checkbook, speak in public, that you really didn't even have to be acquainted with animals or farming really much at all anymore.
And that would be true. It was such a small percentage involved in truly farming, there is a smaller pool to draw from. But agriculture is still our largest industry in the United States. It's the largest industry in Ohio.
Do you think the number, the 56-year-old number, that the average age of a farmer is 56 years old, is a big problem? Because I think what happened to all these FFA kids in the last three generations?
Well, you're seeing a drift of young people not coming back to the farm. Farm sizes have gotten larger, and so it's expensive to get into farming, and so you either have to be born into it or you have to have an entry of some way into it. You almost have to work another job to support your farming, which I see some of that. There's some younger folks that get involved that maybe work a job and then farm on the side. And so I would agree with that age. The age of the average farmer has increased, no doubt.
Well, and it seems like a really good program, but I'm just curious what it stands for now, or if the acronym really has no meaning at all at this point.
I would still like to say that it's rooted in farming, but there's so many other jobs in agriculture other than farming. But I still feel that it is tied to agriculture very strongly.
Well, it's, I think they said we have three chapters here in Marion, Ridgedale, River Valley, and Elgin. But kids from Pleasant, they don't have their own chapter, but they can go to another school. I think Tri-Rivers.
Yes, also, Tri-Rivers has FFA as well.
Also at FFA. But also, there's not a lot of overlap, I guess, between FFA and 4-H.
Not really. Those are two separately run programs.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting meeting for somebody who I did not know anything about FFA going into it last night. So it was interesting to me to learn what their goals are. And it was even said last night that, you know, don't worry if you can't raise livestock, if you can't have live animals. You know, there are other things that can be done. And it seemed to be very based in community service helping out with trunk or treats was actually something last night that was suggested, that a lot of the program has focused in on that.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot of community service with FFA and 4-H, and it teaches our kids to help serve the community, and they can benefit from learning how to interact with others and be good citizens.
Yeah, definitely a good program, but yeah, less than 1% is what I was given last night as the current percentage of Americans that are farmers, and the mean or the average age is 56%, which I thought that seems like trouble, but who knows? Things could turn around.
Yes, I have positive feelings about American farming and in general and agriculture. There again, it's our number one industry. We want to continue to keep it strong and be able to feed ourselves.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But there you go. That was the number given last night. Less than 1% of Americans are currently farmers, and 56% or 56 is the average age of a farmer. So fascinating. And we're doing this quickly. 10-5-21. Did not hear from Geraldo. Just to keep this journal accurate. That's why we're doing it. So that's the Geraldo journal for today. 10-5-21. Did not hear from Geraldo. So we'll put this away for the day because it's driving us all nuts. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I have a question to ask you. How is your Christmas light tour coming along?
Well, we hope good. At this point, the only hang-up seems to be how we're going to travel everybody around. I have not heard anything directly back from the mayor at this point, so I might contact Kai on city council to see what he thinks, because we definitely still want to do it, and if we cannot secure the city buses by, I would say, the middle of October, which is just a couple weeks away, we'll probably contact one of the schools and see if they can help us out.
Okay, I was just wondering.
No, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we still want to do the Christmas lights tour, and at one point it was thought we could use the city buses, and I did send an email out, so maybe I'll follow up with that and see where we are with that, because the planning is going to have to get underway fairly quickly, because we want to start this right after Thanksgiving. Now, the thinking with this is it will probably happen 4 or 5 times in the month of December, and then we're all going to go. What we're going to do, if you didn't hear us talking about this, is we will go on buses 4 or 5 nights in December, and we will look at the Christmas lights in Marion, and then we'll sing Christmas carols on the buses. We'll have Santa Claus and so on and so forth, and then we will go somewhere for hot chocolate when it's over, hot chocolate and cookies. Now, I don't know where we're going to go for hot chocolate and cookies, but we will go somewhere for hot chocolate and cookies when it's over. That way the buses can get together who were involved with it, and we'll have a good time with that. But if anybody knows anything, if anybody has a bus or knows a bus available for 4 or 5 nights in the month of December that would like to be involved, and again, it would just be local. We would just be driving around here in town. Give me a buzz. Does anybody have any thoughts on this in general? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts in general on this whole bus tour? Christmas bus tour 2021. Still have 4 minutes left here. Want to say, was talking about 60 Minutes the other night. I'll get to this as time goes on here. Hold on, let me take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
I won't be able to drive for you if you take the school bus because I don't have a CDL, and you have to have a CDL to drive the school bus.
Well, we want to use the city buses. That's still the number one goal. I'm going to check back in with the mayor because the first time we talked about this back in, I think it was June or July, I sent his office a message, and I really have not heard back anything at this point. So I'm going to check in with them again and see where they might be with this, and hopefully we'll have some notice. But what do you think about everything else that's going on? Facebook going out yesterday?
I think I've told you this before. I don't get on Facebook. I used to, but I just think it's fake. So I don't really get into Facebook. And like you said, your real friends are going to know how to contact, well, they should know how to contact you without Facebook.
How did people not post selfies? There must have been people depressed all over America yesterday.
Yeah, they won't know what you're eating, like you said.
I know. It must have been very depressing for some people.
With all those missing plates of spaghetti and ham sandwiches, how do people go on?
How do people go? Well, hopefully we get some information. Maybe during the break here I'll send some requests over to the mayor's office and see where we are.
Even if I can't drive, then I can get in the back and sing Rudolph with you guys and down a hot chocolate or two.
Well, that's right. But with the hot chocolate thing, we're not really even sure about that, too. We might have to put somebody else in charge of the hot chocolate and cookies because that whole situation, I'm not really sure what happened with that. But I don't know. At this point, it looks a little weak.
All righty. Well, have a good show, Scott.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944, 58 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944, still working on the Christmas light bus tour. Okay, what else was I going to mention here? Oh, 60 Minutes the other night, when I was watching the thing on Facebook, they had a story on Tony Bennett, who has Alzheimer's, and Tony Bennett is 95, and he had to stop performing because of the pandemic. And his Alzheimer's is progressing pretty rapidly. And there was a story, and I implore you to get on YouTube and watch this. Search Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, because they wanted to do one last concert together. And 60 Minutes chronicled this thing. And it's clear that Tony Bennett does not really remember the people around him or what's going on day to day, but when that piano kicks up, he can remember every song lyric. And the story is so amazing because he was rehearsing with Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga said she wasn't even sure if he remembered her anymore because he would always call her sweetheart. He wouldn't call her by her name. And she could ask him basic questions, but not anything beyond that. And the performance did happen, and he was good, and he sang with her, and he called her Lady Gaga on stage. And she said that was the first time in months that he had called her that. Now, why could he sing on stage and still be able to do that when his mind is in the grips of this horrible, horrible Alzheimer's disease? And then the most interesting thing is a few days later, Anderson Cooper from 60 Minutes went to visit him and asked him about this big concert that he did so well in, his final performance at 95 years old, and he didn't remember it at all. Didn't remember it even happened. You gotta watch the story, though. Me telling you about it is not doing it justice. Go to YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's about 13 minutes long. Tony Bennett, 60 Minutes. Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga, 60 Minutes. And what a singer she is. People make fun of her all the time for the crazy outfits, but as a singer, she has got talent. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
National Convention. And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No